This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There's only been one person that has criticized me on that.
Yeah.
And it was somebody who hates fun who said...
Well, I guess we're not going to know who that is. We're going to go to break.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Josh Briscoe and Beards heading up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. A lot of stuff to get into today. A lot of stuff to talk about. College basketball going on. Still going on across the country. Going on today at the T-Mobile Center. Tonight at 6 o'clock when KU tips off against Iowa State. And then Texas and TCU tonight after the KU-Iowa State game. Not the matchup I was hoping for. I think a lot of people might have been hoping for is KU and Iowa State, and KU versus anybody, and then Kansas State versus Texas or Oklahoma State or whoever tonight. But that is not the case with the Wildcats losing last night to TCU in a game that got out of hand and got away from the Wildcats. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about KU's win against West Virginia, their game today against Iowa State. Bill Self is now not going to coach in the entire Big 12 tournament. Not just that, the news yesterday while we were on the air that he was not going to coach in that game. And we find out after the game that he is not going to be with the team this weekend at all. And then we'll see what happens after that. So there is a lot of college basketball to talk about with Missouri taking on Tennessee today at 2:30. And then, as we mentioned, KU versus Iowa State coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show. 913-912-4810 is the text line if you want to join us and be a part of it. We'll get into some football today. Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest will be our guest coming up at 11 o'clock, and we'll talk with him and hang out with him and discuss some Chiefs goings-on. What happens over the next 5 days? 6 days, I guess? 4 days away from the negotiating period for the NFL and the league year starting 5 days from now. So we will we'll talk with Matt Derrick about those things and maybe some names he's interested in, some players in the draft maybe he's interested in, decisions that the Chiefs will have to make, what Brett Veach may or may not do. We'll find out when we talk with Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll also hang out with Todd Lebo for a little bit as he's been covering the Big 12 for us and doing a great job of that. So Todd Lebo, we'll hang out with him in the noon hour, talk some Big 12 basketball, some more Big 12 basketball with Todd Lebo. And then Mick Schaefer will be our guest as well in the show as it progresses in the noon hour, into the 1 hour, 1 o'clock hour as well. But live coverage of the Big 12 tournament brought to you by Barstool Sportsbook, Inside Hollywood Casino, Greenlight Dispensary, Jay Rieger & Company, CBD American Shaman, and Miller Lite. Today, I say we, but me, I am coming to you from the Open Season Sportsman's Expo Overland Park Convention Center. You can go to OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com to check out all of the things that you may need to know about this if you're interested in coming down. If you want some more information, that's the website. Starts today at 2, so don't come down right now to try to see me. You'll be standing outside waiting for autographs like they would do at the front door. You don't want that either. But 2 o'clock today is when the doors open, when the first day of the expo takes place, until 7 o'clock tonight. And then tomorrow and Sunday, it opens up at 9 a.m. 7 o'clock, it closes on Saturday, and 4 o'clock, this thing closes on Sunday. So 2 o'clock today until 7, 9 a.m. to 7 tomorrow, and 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. Free parking at the Overland Park Convention Center. Adults to get in, $15. Children 12 and under admission is free. They've got tons and tons of exhibits here. And I would tell you all of the stuff that's here, but I can't see anything because it's all camouflaged. That was dumb. Products, gear, they've got equipment, outdoor enthusiasts. This is the spot for you. And you can bring your buck for scoring. So, and they've got the duck calls going on in the background. I think that's duck calls. I'm not sure. Or that's just somebody moving a large table or a squeaky wheel or something. That is here at the Overland Park Convention Center Open Season Sportsman's Expo where we are at today. Josh, you ever had a buck scored before?
No, I'm hearing myself real quick, Beards. I know we're kind of building the plane in the air. There you go. You got me now. And presumably you can hear me okay now, Jason. We're across time and space. I mean, I'm out here in our McFadden studio ready for the stage time once things get going this afternoon. No, I mostly shoot with a camera most of the time. That's kind of my general go-to. But, look, if we could get just a persistent sort of, soundtrack of duck calls while you're talking, not just today, but 24/7 going forward, I think that could be a really good thing for the show.
Yeah, and I'm being told by both my personal text phone and also the text line that's a turkey call.
Makes sense. It sounds like a turkey. So, okay, got it.
So I got that going for me, which is nice. So,
but would you ask Drake to stop doing that into the microphone?
There's probably some duck calls somewhere, but that's definitely it. I was just seeing if people were paying attention. Seeing if the real outdoor enthusiasts knew when they heard, like, there was probably somebody driving around right now and then looked up and got their shotgun out and was like, where's the turkey?
I tell you what, there's like a couple of turkeys right here.
It's who I'm listening to on the radio.
Exactly.
We were both going there.
We were both a bunch of squawking birds gobbling on the radio. Most of what I learned about the outdoors, I got a little bit from my grandpa and then a lot more a little later on in life from the Midwest Outdoors Saturday mornings on this very radio station. Ran that show for a while, and that was the crash course. And I now believe that if you did throw me either into the wild or into the convention center today, I do think I'd be able to make it a couple of days just living off the land.
Some more text coming in saying Jason has never heard a duck call before. It was definitely a turkey.
Makes sense.
So there you go. Well, like I said, turkey calls all over the place. You know?
What a quack.
Turkey calls. There it is. Do we have, Beards, we have to find now the Josh Briscoe turkey call when Matt Derrick and I were talking. It was after the Chargers game.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, if you can find that one, because that's going to be in the bracket of sound. We haven't got there yet. I've been putting together. Josh has been doing the same. We've been going through and finding the best sound bites from the last year since the last NCAA tournament, and then eventually coming up with our top 68 and then seeding them according to geography. Like, you know, we've got to do it real. No, we'll just seed them 1 through 68, whatever. But the duck call from Josh will absolutely be in the bracket of sound. Also, if he has a turkey call, too, I believe it is a turkey call that he has. But if you could find that one, we need to play that one just from time to time, just randomly. We say, tell us what this is. Is it a turkey call or Josh Briscoe?
I wonder if we could sell that. If that does work, if my gobble noise does work to bring the turkeys in, I feel like that might actually be like an opportunity for innovation.
That is the definition. It's actually called gobble noise.
Gobble noise. That's good.
One, look it up.
We got to take some of the vowels out for the branding. It's like G-B-B-L-E-N-U-Z, maybe.
It's got to be a Z
in there. That can be our branding. There's got to be a Z, though, yeah. And there can't be an E in gobble.
No. I am here at the Overland Park Convention Center with the Open Season Sportsman's Expo going on. Opens up today at 2 o'clock. And Josh Briscoe is at McFadden Studio as the Big 12 tournament continues to go on. Now, the NCAA tournament, the Selection Sunday, the bracket will be revealed just a couple of days from today, and you can go right now to 810WHB.com, click on the bracket challenge icon, and you can get signed up and be ready to go for when the bracket is actually released on Sunday. And just go in there, boom, fill out your teams. You don't have to then worry about going through the registration process or anything, and you can also host your group's bracket challenge office pool at the 810WHB.com bracket challenge. Click on that. You can create your own group. You guys can have your own individual winners and whatever you might be having on the line. But you're also eligible for all the great prizes with the 810 Bracket Challenge. Autographed Chiefs gear, Sporting KC memorabilia, flat screen TV, restaurant gift cards, and much more. So you can win twice with your own pool, with your friends, and then also some cool prizes from us here at Sports Radio 810 WHB and our fine partners, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Robert Brogdon, Buick, GMC, and Olathe Kia, Smoke and Fire, and Hy-Vee. I think I'm 50% on Robert Brogdon and Robert Brogdon. Even though
it's the Buick. You see the Buick in advance, and you start kind of slamming those together.
I purchased a car from Robert Brogdon, so I'm not a noob when it comes to, you know, who they are. I don't know why I just can't read. Is that a Brockton? Is that B-R-O-C-K-T? And is that a new one? Man, that's awfully close to Robert Brogdon. I don't know why somebody – wouldn't they just change the – or are they trying to steal and, bite off a little bit of the branding from Robert Brogdon? People are then going to get confused. That's what it is. Must be. But no, Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, and Olathe Kia, Smoke and Fire, and Hy-Vee with the Bracket Challenge. We certainly appreciate them. So that's how the show lines up. Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. Todd Lebo at noon. Mick Schaefer, 12:30. We've got the cuts before the show is over and a number of other things to get into today. 913-912-4810 to weigh in on anything other than me not knowing the difference between a duck and a turkey call. Other than that,
I'll weigh in on one more thing here. The text line would take a little longer. Right there, you didn't mention Matt Tate at 10:40. I just want to make remember that Matt. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I don't want you to get surprised at 10:40 when Matt's on the phone.
No. I've got it written down right here.
Good.
And
okay.
The Matts blended together for me.
Yeah.
I looked down. Yeah. I see the Matt, and I'm like, Matt Derrick at 11 o'clock. But yes, Matt Tate's going to join us at 10:40, 10:45. We'll talk about what happened last night with KU and West Virginia, and then a preview of Iowa State today. And any update or whatever, his thoughts are on Bill Self missing the Big 12 tournament. Let's get into that. Let's talk about that. Josh Briscoe is there at McFadden's because, you know, we've got the Miller Lite Fan Fest Hoop Central going on down there. How was it yesterday, Josh? I meant to ask you before we really get into the conversation today, because Steven was not doing so well this morning. He wasn't doing so hot with his voice, and I was a little concerned about what your voice might sound like today. You sound like you're fine. How was it for you on the stage?
It was good, and I think really yesterday was sort of me just trying to get the temperature back, the energy back up to where it needs to be, you know, for today. When I think that the crown will weigh even heavier on the head as we continue to be what I'm just going to kind of call the party leaders of the KC Live block here, because it was great yesterday. The Iowa State and KU fans in particular asserted themselves very well, which makes me incredibly excited for what that's going to look like tonight. I actually was not here at the end of the K-State game. I imagine that the energy was not quite as good as we've seen a lot of purple, but it's mostly been Wildcat purple and not Horned Frog purple. So that may have been a little bit more of a commiseration amongst the Wildcats, but Iowa State and KU brought it in a big way, which means if you want to, and also, like, not just before and after the games, but during the games, Iowa State fans were, like, keeping the atmosphere at an impossible level. So if you're just looking for a place to enjoy the festivities, even if you don't cross the street to the T-Mobile Center, which I can see from my seat here, I'd certainly encourage you to come enjoy the fun out here at P&L. Also, better weather than it's been in a while, I feel like. So, get on a sweater and a jacket of some sort, and you'll be dry under the cover and hopefully partied up with me and Steven having a chance to try to bring that energy for these games today.
I feel like the best result for the energy throughout the day on a Thursday at the Big 12 tournament is one of three: KU, K-State, or Iowa State playing the noon game and winning.
Yeah.
And then those fans head out into Fan Fest Hoop Central and then enjoy the rest of the day, because they've already got the day off, because you're there at 11:30. You know, you're probably getting there at like 10:30 or whatever. You watch the game, you win, you go out and enjoy yourself. I'm assuming that's what Iowa State fans did, and then KU fans during the Iowa State game, and then on into the arena, and then after the game, you know, funneling out into Hoop Central and Fan Fest presented by Miller Lite and enjoying themselves there. So if you get one of those three fan bases in that first game and win, that atmosphere can be great the rest of the day. The worry would be if one of those teams early then loses, and it's like, ah, Texas won early. Ah, cool. Hey, guy over there. Woo! That one guy in the background that's got his, you know, Texas, his fingers up in the air. Horns up, baby! Horns up! Is that Matthew McConaughey? I got my shirt off. It's only 30 degrees, but it's probably a good idea for me to go ahead and take my shirt off. And he's allowed
I will probably do that today also, by the way. I mean, it depends on how things go, but the other thing that I neglected to mention is I did, after, I didn't even have to beg for it, I just feel like everyone involved knew that this was something I needed, I did get T-shirt cannon privileges. And so that was personally the highlight of my day. I started putting, literally, this is not a joke, we've got some, like, KC Live, you know, like, stress balls that are basketballs, we've got Miller Lite koozies. I was just shoving anything I could into the T-shirt cannon and trying to launch them. And that was a high point of my career.
Anybody get hurt?
Not that I saw or can be held liable for.
Okay, very good. You didn't launch a hot dog into somebody, did you?
No. Fine. No, I definitely I wasn't as accurate at all times as I wanted to be, but I don't believe that I ever caused any injuries.
Very good. We are hanging out at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo, Overland Park Convention Center. Starts today at 2 o'clock. Doors open at 2 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, 9 to 7. Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Adults tickets, $15. 12 and under. Admission is free. There's free parking and tons of exhibits and you know, products, gear, equipment for the outdoor enthusiast. You can bring your buck for scoring. There's a deer stand over there. I believe Ned Yost is in that, so you can maybe meet him. I actually don't know if he's there or not, but there's a decent chance he might be there in that. Just if there's a deer stand, you might want to check for Ned Yost. He may be in that thing. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Josh is at McFadden's, and I am here at the Overland Park Convention Center. We'll talk some college basketball. We'll get into the conversation around Bill Self. We'll hear from Jerome Tang in what happened in the K-State loss last night, what happens moving forward with his basketball program and his takeaway, and the threes that were raining from one of the worst three-point shooting teams in America in TCU last night. We'll get into all of that as we continue to roll along on this Friday edition of The Zone, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That was the winning margin.
And it turned out to be the, whether it was the
right. That's not how this works.
Hold on.
That's not how the math works. Jason, that was not the margin. What are we talking about?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There it is. There it is. That's right.
We got to be able to sell that. I mean, that really. That played, and then I saw a turkey just cross the street down here at Big 12.
You know, if we had a speaker out here, somebody would have come over and tried to buy something. Like, hold on. Couldn't help but hear that turkey call you had. That sounded real. It's the realest turkey call I've ever heard. Yeah, well, we've got a turkey that we are trying to sell. Nobody's going to buy it. 913-912-4810. Text came in, said, can we talk about all the parlays that K-State ruined last night? And my answer is no. No, we can't, because, you know, I don't want to right now. I don't want to. We'll say this about K-State with the loss last night to TCU. They are not a 2-seed, so they will be a 3-seed, and it kind of depends on what happens behind them. Marquette won in overtime. Gonzaga won the West Coast Conference, so they don't have to play anymore. And with bracket matrix, they're ahead of K-State, and certainly different brackets might have different things. But Marquette has another game, maybe another couple of games. UConn is right behind Kansas State. UConn's on the four line. So do they find a way to, you know, make a run in the Big East? And, you know, if that happens and, you know, they increase their resume, it, you know, chance that they slide backwards. But UConn and Marquette are playing each other today. If Marquette is already ahead of Kansas State in the committee's mind, you would probably want Marquette to go ahead and win that game to keep UConn behind Kansas State. Tennessee right behind Kansas State on the three line. K-State fans, big Mizzou fans today. If you're wanting that three seed, Mizzou fans, because that three seed avoids a one seed, as we know in the Sweet 16. If you get past, it's a three, it's a six and a two instead of a five and a one. That's the difference in that three and the four. It's a pretty big deal. And so, you know, you've got a couple of teams that you probably need to be looking for and watching today and tonight. Indiana taking on Maryland. Indiana's right there on the four line. That's a team that you would probably like Kevin Willard and the Maryland Terrapins to win that game against Indiana. So this is not bubble watch, you know, watching other teams hoping to get in the tournament. It's just about seeding. And certainly that's where Mizzou is as well. We'll talk about KU with Matt Tate. They got the win, and they're playing again today. But let's talk K-State as they lose to TCU yesterday in a very physical game. 20 turnovers in the game. They gave up 32% offensive rebounding. And TCU shot 11 of 25 from behind the arc. TCU is a season-long 30.2% three-point shooting team, ranked 344th in the country in three-point percentage this year. There are 363 teams in Division I, and TCU is 344th. It's really maybe timely, ironic, coincidental of what we were talking about with John Gassaway on Wednesday. And my view on three-point percentage defense, in that John Gassaway wrote that, you know, K-State just missed out on his eight teams that can win the national title. He looks at all the different metrics and then eliminates teams, and then the teams that match up with the metrics, there are eight teams there, and he has picked out the national champion in, like, I don't know, 8 years in a row. And then he has a list of teams that just missed the cut. K-State's just missed the cut. And because they just missed the cut, he wrote that the three-point percentage defense, he doesn't believe, is a sustainable metric from game in to game out. And if that continues to where they're limiting teams from making a good clip from behind the arc, then, yeah, they can make a run. But he doesn't believe that that's the case. And 2 days later, K-State goes up against one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country, that the most threes they've made in a game was 10. And that was, like, you know, 4 months ago in the non-conference, and they make 11 in that game. My assessment, as it's been for a while, the best three-point percentage or the best three-point defense is to limit three-point attempts. That's that. If that's closely guarded, if it's a good closeout to where they have to then, you know, ball fake, put it on the floor to go by you, whatever it might be, the best defense for three-point shooting is to not allow that player to shoot a three. And last night, TCU was not making fadeaway threes. They weren't making step back, hand in the face, into the shot clock, heaving it up, bouncing off the backboard. They were making wide open shots. Now, the flip side of my, you know, conversation about the best three-point percentage defense is to not allow a shot, you would say, okay, well, they weren't guarding very well, so therefore they were making those shots. Certainly. But part of being in position is limiting those shots, because TCU didn't make every single wide-open shot. Miller missed a wide-open three early in the game. Coles missed a wide-open three from the top of the key. Peavy missed a wide-open three from the top of the key. Coles missed a wide-open three from the top of the key. Like, all of these guys, Miller missed a wide-open three on a drive-in kick late in the game after it was already out of hand. There wasn't even any pressure. He stood all by himself, could, you know, blow on the basketball if there was any dirt or anything, and then shoot it. And he just simply missed it, because you don't always make every single open three. But when you're talking about big-time Division I basketball players, open threes are going to start going down. O'Bannon, wide-open shot. Miles, his first three he hit. Nobody within 6 feet of him. Miles again. Drive, kick, open, rhythm, bang. Peavy, wide open. Desi Sills had a great block shot, bounced all the way out to the top of the key. I can't remember for TC who grabbed it, kicked it over to Peavy. Nobody around him. Knocked down a three off of a made or off a miss. Miles, another wide open three off of a miss three. Offensive rebounds, loose balls, things like that. They're going to make some wide open threes. You know, we talked about it, you know, a couple of weeks ago with Missouri, and I can't remember who they were even playing. But it was a team that they, you know, should have taken care of, and they were just banging threes all night. It was like, well, of course, they're just hitting all these threes. They're shooting wide open shots. So wide open threes, guys will knock down. They won't knock it down every single time. That's why you want to limit the amount of threes. So K-State last night can lament the fact that, of course, TCU is going to hit all these threes. That was defense. That was defense and rotation for K-State. They have been good at closing out. There is an element of being there and having length and things like that. But there's also an element of guarding to where you limit the shot or you force a bad shot late in the shot clock because you're guarding that person. And you're limiting those threes. But when you're giving up wide open threes, when you're giving up wide open shots, I'll put my money on the D1 athlete. Doesn't mean he's going to make it every time, because I went through the number of shots that were wide open that TCU missed as well. So you're not going to be 100%. But that's how it's also part of how fickle the NCAA tournament is. Is something like that can happen and the season's over. You play well into that game, and then a team hits a bunch of threes. And the next thing you know, you're upset in the tournament, and you say, oh, great, that team went and did that. And then the next game, that team goes and makes 3 of 25 from three-point land. Which, by the way, I'll take Texas tonight, because I think TCU is going to keep chucking up threes because of what they did last night against Kansas State. And I don't think they're going to go. I don't think they're going to fall. And Texas is going to win tonight. We'll see. And that'll be where K-State fans, understandably, will look at it and go, of course, TCU's not making threes. That's just the way the game goes, you know? Make or miss game, as they say in college basketball. We'll take a timeout. We'll get into more of this conversation, get into more K-State, more KU. We'll hear from Jerome Tang. He was really good last night on the podium after the game, Jerome Tang was. So I want to hear some clips from Jerome Tang as we progress here in the show. Norm Roberts on Bill Self. Bob Huggins weighed in on Bill Self. Scott Drew made it weird in talking about Bill Self last night. We'll get into all of that as the show goes on. Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk with Matt Tate next here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the zone.
Food here?
Yeah, we'll keep asking questions.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jesse.
With Jason Anderson.
I was just curious.
I'm sorry, the food's here.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue on this Friday edition of The Zone. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe and Beards, hanging out at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo. Overland Park Convention Center gets underway today at 2 o'clock until 7 o'clock tonight. And then tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 7, and on Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. $15 for adults, the tickets are, and then $12 and under is free admission for children that are 12 and under. And if you go to OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com, that is the website, OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. You can even Google search, it'll pop up. You can save $5 on a one-day adult ticket online just for our listeners. Use promo code SR810. SR810 for Sports Radio 810. SR810. Save $5 on a one-day adult ticket. So that can be $10 now for adults. Kids 12 and under, admission free to the Open Season Sportsman's Expo. Again, go online, OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. Let's talk with Matt Tate, KUSports.com, Lawrence Journal World, presented by the 23rd Street Brewery, joining us here in the zone on this Friday. Matt, what's up, man? How are you, sir? No, I agree, Matt. I think it's awesome. I am also glad that Josh is not here with us as well. No, I totally agree, and it's a really good point. Yeah. Oh, stop. You don't have to say that about me. No, I think you're the best. I think you are the best, Matt. That's very nice. Turns out he dropped, so we'll talk with Matt Tate here very soon from the Lawrence Turner World, KUSports.com. Get his thoughts on this KU-Iowa State matchup and then the win last night against West Virginia. Matt Tate is with us now. Matt, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Reaction to the win last night against West Virginia. Then we'll get into some other things, including Bill Self and moving forward and Iowa State, things like that. But what was your takeaway from the win against West Virginia?
Well, yeah, I thought, given the circumstances, it was, you know, one of their best wins of the year, really. I mean, that's not easy to adjust to that on the fly. And, you know, in the locker room, those guys were unfazed, and they'll tell you, you know, this is our culture, this is what we do. Any one of these coaches could run the show. A lot of these players could run the show, all that. But it's still, you know, a lot easier to say that than to actually go out and do it and to do it on short notice with something serious like a health issue and all that. So for those guys to, you know, just stay locked in, and I think it helped them. I think it helped how they played. I think it forced them to focus more and realize, man, we got to be really good today. And that's not a knock on Norm or anything. It's just, it was a little bit more urgency than they may normally have. And at the same time, the benefit there was also, hey, it's postseason time. So I think they flipped both of those switches, and that's why that's why they looked so good. I mean, they weren't perfect. It wasn't their best game of the year or anything crazy like that, but they played really efficient basketball. They played tough on both ends. And, you know, you had the two guys that you would expect to do it. Jalen Wilson and Dwan Harris were both sensational, and that leads to a 17-point win, and they're moving on. So good first postseason game for them, I think, especially when you consider, you know, all they had to deal with.
Yeah, what do you make of how yesterday went? About 9:15 when we broke the news on Sports Radio 810 and that Bill Self wasn't going to coach in the game, and all of a sudden some rumors started flying online. We never mentioned them on the air or addressed them or acknowledged them. And now we know, you know, certainly just speculation and rumors that are there. But from the initial report that he's, you know, not going to coach and he's at the hospital to then KU putting out the statement saying he's doing well, I thought that was a big part of that statement, Matt, of just doing well. Because if he wasn't, I think they would have just ignored it altogether. Not the statement. They would have just said he's at the University of Kansas health system receiving great treatment. But putting in the doing well, they're not going to lie about that. So I thought that was a big sort of sigh of relief for people, even just that one sentence in there in that press release. What did you make of how yesterday morning went leading up to that game?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the first thing you hear, I got a text at 7:15 in the morning, you know, truly waking up. There's the first thing I heard. And you know, some much, much bigger words than illness were used in the text that I got, you know. And so all of a sudden you're trying to wake up. You're trying to juggle, hey, what's going on? Who can I call? Is this true? You know, and you go even farther, you know, is he going to live? Right. Is he going to be able to coach is probably one of the first things. But then, yeah, how serious is this? And so all those things, especially that early in the morning for sports writers, that's fast and furious stuff flying quick. And so, you know, the biggest thing at that point, obviously, in any news story, really, but especially when it involves someone's, you know, health and well-being and just a very personal situation, you're never going to just jump out and say the wrong thing or go too far and not be able to pull something back. So that was a big part of it for me, was just like, let's just breathe through this and figure out how we can find out the best information we can get and go from there. And in that situation, you know, this is such a race to be first, and that's journalism, and that's especially journalism in 2023. But man, I'd be fine being last on that one as long as I'm right. You know, that's just so intense and so serious. And I agree with you. I think from the perspective of the coaching staff to the players to the people that, you know, obviously know and work with Self daily, even just support staff types, but obviously also his family and then, of course, his extended family, which is the fan base that, you know, 95% of these KU fans feel like he is a member of their family. And so for them collectively to all hear in one way or another that, you know, he's okay, he's going to be fine, I think that probably made the day a lot smoother and easier than it could have been if that kind of lingered as some sort of uncertainty. And so, you know, Norm told us after the game that they were reassured pretty quickly, maybe even Wednesday night, if I remember right, you know, that he's going to be fine. And so I think that was not only yesterday morning was that important for people to realize and hear and all that he's doing well, but for the coaches to know that, Wednesday night so that they could really make their plan of how to move forward. And they didn't tell the players until Thursday morning, you know. And so I think that was by design. I think Norm flat out said, we didn't want them sleeping on that and having to worry all night and maybe not get any sleep, you know. So we just moved forward because we knew he was okay. And so tell him in the morning he's not going to be with us. You know, let's go do what we do and you know, go try to represent him and play Kansas basketball. And that's the thing they can do to make him feel the best. You know, they're not heart surgeons or doctors or anything like that. So they can't do anything to help that part of it. But they certainly can make him at least a little more comfortable while he's watching them play. And I'm sure there were moments where he wasn't comfortable watching them play. But for the most part, pretty good game. And just a really, really weird deal. Like you said, I mean, it starts with such chaos and holy cow. And imagine, I even actually talked a little about this yesterday with some people, but imagine being Travis Goff in the morning, right? Like, or Wednesday night. You're thinking,
Wednesday night, yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah, is this, how serious is this? And you know, you want to be sensitive and you want to make sure your thoughts are in the right place and you know, hey, is Bill all right and all those things and his family and that. But, you know, as the AD at Kansas, there's no doubt that it had to enter his head of, oh, man, are we going to have to find a new coach sometime soon? And, you know, like, doesn't look that way, and that's great news. But that just kind of is a reminder of how far something like can reach. And, you know, for me personally, too, it was, you know, Wednesday at their open practice, Self came over and sat on the bench, and I was sitting in the stands right there, and we were, you know, BSing and just talking about this, that, and the other, and he seemed fine and as normal as ever, and then you wake up the next day, and it's, you know, you're hearing these kind of serious things, and you're like, wow, man, it can happen fast to anybody. And so basketball, sports, all that aside, it's probably a good reminder for anyone paying attention that, you know, take care of yourself and cherish every moment and make sure that you, you know, are doing what you need to do to be in as good a shape as you can for your family, your friends, your loved ones, all that. And I know we're getting off topic there, but that was a big part of it for me, too. Like, a lot of people probably had those same thoughts yesterday. I'm sure you did.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, start hearing it. It's like, what's going on? Yeah, because you never know, you know, with so much speculation and unknown that was out there until the release came out that, you know, he's doing well. And then Norm Roberts after the game last night, I think also put a little bit more worry to rest for me and maybe some others when he joked about, you know, Bill Self talking to the team. And it's like, well, he talked for a little too long. You know, he just it's like, okay,
yeah,
well,
then
maybe then. Yeah. Then you're like, okay, if you can make some if Norm Roberts can joke and poke some fun, then it's certainly a good indication that of how well he thinks Bill Self is doing. But he won't coach today. And if they beat Iowa State and play tomorrow, he won't coach tomorrow. No word or news, and we'll see about next week as the days progress. But what do you make of the matchup tonight with Iowa State? As Iowa State got back on track after their rough patch by beating Baylor in back-to-back games. And, you know, it's really difficult to beat a team three times, Matt. Really difficult, except for Iowa State over Baylor. But what do you make of this matchup for KU and Iowa State, splitting in the regular season, a two-point win and a five-point loss this year?
Yeah, well, exactly what you just said. I think Baylor's good enough to win a national championship because of their offense. Their defense leaves a little to be desired, but mm-hmm. their offense, when it goes, they're as good as anybody and hard to stop. So for Iowa State to do what they did to them in back-to-back games, both of those games. I mean, Baylor had, what, an eight-point lead early in the second half, and then Iowa yep. State just completely shut that down. And from there on, they won by, like, I guess it ended up being only six, but they got up double digits and they were kicking their butts. So clearly a team that's playing with confidence and back on track, like you said. I think it's a great matchup for Kansas, not from the standpoint of, you know, this is who they wanted to play or not, but from the standpoint of continuing what happened yesterday with these guys. I mean, look, if they had played Baylor, they probably would have had to stay locked in too, right? This is March. It's how it goes. But I think that their last taste of Iowa State was a thorough beating in Ames, and they remember that. And that was, you know, that was the game where they got home and instead of going their separate ways for the rest of the weekend, Saturday night, Self held them for a little while and have like an hour long just kind of clearing the air, team meeting, guys, that was awful, and we got to be better or we're not going anywhere type of meeting. And, you know, from then on, they really got it back, and they won seven in a row after that. And I think, you know, they were humbled and embarrassed by that Iowa State effort. So they get the opportunity, even though it's, you know, a month and a half later or whatever, they get the opportunity to kind of atone for that. And you probably don't carry that around with you too much, but you do remember those things. And so their focus, their effort, their locked-in nature, that, you know, they're going to be as dialed up as they can in those areas today. And they're going to have to be, because Iowa State's, you know, they're not the prettiest team on paper. They don't always look the best on your screen either, but there's something about when they're playing well, they just make it hard for teams, and they make you uncomfortable, and part of that's their defense, which obviously they're really good at, but they have really good pieces too, and they move the ball well, and you know, they just play team basketball to the you know, definition of it, to the very core of what team basketball is about on both sides. So KU will have to match that. They'll have to move the ball themselves. They'll have to be efficient. They'll have to be sharp on their team defense and turned up. And so it's an awesome semifinal, because you know as well as anybody that place is going to be absolutely,
yes,
wild. I mean, the Iowa State fans are legendary when it comes to Big 12 tournament time. And of course, KU fans aren't afraid to show up and match it, you know, and so the building should be great. It in a lot of ways, it'll probably feel like a championship game. And then, oh, by the way, whoever wins has to go find a way to win another game too tomorrow. So, you know, that's a whole other story. But I think it's great, because I think it you know, maybe more than any other team they could have played, it does force them to really keep dialed in on that sharp mindset and focus and all that. And again, that's what you want to be this time of year, and you should be this time of year anyway. So that's not like really the most profound thing ever. But I think because this is a team that just whipped them, this is an added element there. And so I think that they were talking a little about that in the locker room last night, and already talking about, you know, the key will be simple. The same thing it's been for these guys all season. And it's about energy. Energy early. Do they come out with good energy and flying around and ready to go, or do they start in a hole and make it harder? So, you know, that's probably the first 3-4 minutes you watch for that, and you'll have a pretty good idea of how the game's going to go.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. Matt Tate, KUSports.com, Lawrence Journal World, presented by 23rd Street Brewery. Matt, you're the man. Really appreciate the time, sir. Enjoy the basketball tonight. We'll be following the coverage, and then we'll talk next week as we see where KU ends up heading for the NCAA tournament. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Enjoy it. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, absolutely. You too. Matt Tate, KUSports.com, Lawrence Journal World. KU 2-point win at home against Iowa State, and 15-point loss on the road there in Ames. And as he said, trying to exact a little revenge, trying to get that one back with that taste in their mouths from that previous matchup with Iowa State. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling, hanging out at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo inside the Overland Park Convention Center. OpenSeasonSportsman'sExpo.com. Go there. Put in code SR810, SR810, and save $5 on a one-day adult ticket. Go there online and purchase that. We take a timeout. We come back. We'll talk with Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest next.